The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas is Parashas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefona Ve'Eleisov V'Chiv Atzo Se'yis De'Adom. Yaakov was returning from Laban's house after he had fled from Esav, and he was Esav, if you recall, wanted to kill him because he stole his brachas. And Yaakov was away many years, 20 years, a total of 22 years. And now he was coming back with his entire family. And he came to Atzo Seir Ste'edom, the land of Seir, which is the land of Esav, and it's called the field of Edom. Esav was called Edom. And Esav was coming to meet him. Yaakov sent Malochim Lefonov. He sent the simple meaning is angels. The Rashi brings Malochim Mamash, actually angels to meet him. I recall that a few years ago, Rabbi Lowy, Chief Rabbi of Israel, was visiting here. And it was in Parshas Vayishlach. Now, actually, there are two opinions in the Medrash Rabbah, because many times Malochim can mean Shluchim. Shluchim would be emissaries, messengers. So he said that the reason of the opinion of Malochim Mamish, actual angels, because when you want to make peace with someone, like here he was wanted to make peace with Esav, then you must go yourself. You cannot send emissaries, you cannot send shluchim. To make shalom, you got to go personally, or malochim mamash, or actual angels. Because this is how important peace is, and this is how difficult peace is. And he commanded them to say, this is what you shall say to my Lord Esav. Ke'omar avdecho Yaakov. Thus saith your servant Yaakov. Im lovon gati v'echar ad oto. I have dwelled with Lovan, and I have delayed my return until now. And I have bulls, oxen, donkeys, sheep, servant, and shivcho, maidservant. And I am sending these messengers to you to let you know that I am coming, and I want to find favor in your eyes. Vayashuva malochim al Yaakov lemor. And the angels returned to Yaakov saying, Bonu elochicha el Esav. We came to your brother to Esav, v'gam holech likroscha, and he is coming to meet you, v'arba meos ish imai, with 400 men. The Medrash says, not only was it 400 men, but some opinions are it was 400 kings. Esav was Edom, that's Rome. From there came the Roman Empire. They were famous for their legions. He was coming with 400 kings and legions, or 400 Roshe Geises, or 400 generals with their armies. Vayira Yaakov Miod. And when Yaakov heard this, he feared very much, and he was very pained, very upset. and he divided the camp that was with him, Vesatzon Vesaboker, Vagmalim Lishne Machanos, and all of the animals into two camps. And he said, if Esav will come and start war with one of the camps, then the camp which will remain will be able to escape. Then Yaakov says a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then it states in Pasuk Yud Daled that he prepared a lavish gift. The Chazal tell us that he prepared three types of strategies for war. And war meant either to fight or if he cannot succeed, he must be able to escape, or at least some of them, for tefillah, and for a gift, for pius, to try to console and make peace. And then he prepared a lavish gift, easy mosaim, us yoshim esrim, recheli mosaim, ve'elim esrim. He took from his animals and hundreds of animals he took together, 200 of the goats, and then 20 of the she-goats, and another 200 of the sheep. That's 420, 440, and another 30 of the camels is 470, and 40 of the porim, another 40, that would be 510. Hundreds of animals he prepared. And he sent it as a gift to Esav. And it states, Eder Eder Levadai. He didn't send it in a mixed up, confused manner, but rather he wanted to make an impression. So he made a whole presentation, a parade. Each type of animal in its own herd. And then more. He said, he commanded the angels that were taking these, Berevach Tosimo Bein Eder Bein Eder. You shall make a great space between each flock. And the Chazal tell us, not that they were walking and there was just a space between each one. Now, even more, that when the first flock went, you wouldn't be able to see the second flock. Not until the first flock arrived, then you started to see the second flock coming into a distance. And when that came, only when the second flock arrived, then did you start seeing the third flock in the distance. And this was more of a presentation. Because this way you were able to concentrate on each flock itself before being diverted by the second one. In other words, you were able to give your undivided attention to each section of the gift. And then he had his servants there, and he was telling them just what to do. And they should tell Esav, this is a mincha hishlucha ladunila Esav, this is a gift which is sent to our Lord, our master Esav. Been to my master Esav, but hinei gam hu achareinu, and Yaakov is following. And vayitzav gam es hasheni, gam es hashlishi, gam es kol aholchim acharei adorim lemor. Kadovar hazeh tedabru na Esav. And to each flock, and each person that were attending each flock, he told them all to say that this is a gift to the master this is a gift to Esav and to our master, to my master, and Yaakov is following. Then the Torah tells us further in Perek Lamed Gimel, Vayisa Yaakov Einov, Yaakov lifted his eyes, Vayar V'hinei Esav Bo, and he saw Esav coming. V'imo arba meyas ish, and the 400 men with him, the 400 armies or men. He lined up all of his family, all of his children, his wives, his children. V'hu omar lifneihem, and he went before them. Vayishtachu arzo sheva po'omim, and he walked and bowed down, got up and walked and bowed down 7 times. Ad gishtai ad ochiv, until he reached his brother Esav. Then they met, finally, after so many years. And Esav was enormously taken aback by this lavish presentation. Everything involved, and all of the bowing and everything. And he had compassion, and they left in peace. Now there's a number of points here that do not seem to make very good sense. In the beginning it states, Yaakov sent the angels to his brother Esav, Atzei Seir Ste Edom, to the land of Seir, the field of Edom. The Medrash says in this posuk, Parsha Ein Hei Os Hei, Edom, who Edom? He was red. Why was he called Edom? Because he was red. Vayetze Arishin Admoni, when he was born, it states that he was red. He had red hair. Tafshila Edom. What he ate was red. In the case, the incident between him and Yaakov, where he wanted to eat from the porridge, Nezid Adoshim, he said, Haliteni nomina odam aidem azeh, give me to eat from this red porridge. It was porridge. So his food is red. Labush Edom. No, excuse me, outside Edom, his land is red. And this is why it's called Edom. Giborav Adomim. His generals will go around with red. Levushav Adomim. His clothing will be red. And then the Medrash goes on to say also, the Perea, who Edom, the one who will take revenge from him, will be Edom. And that's Dovid HaMelech, who also was red. Now, first thing to understand is what's the significance that Esav was red and his food was red and his land is red and he would go with red uniforms and so forth. But secondly, why is that brought here? The Medrash is darshaning here because it seems that these words are unnecessary. It should just say that the pegisho, this confrontation, was in Eretz Seir, which is Esav's land. Why does it have to say Sedei Edom? So it must be coming to teach us these facts. But why here? This is one question. Another question is, and where he commands his servants, Ko Omar, he said, this Ko Somron la Adoni Esav, this is what you shall tell my master Esav, Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov, thus saith your servant Yaakov. The Medrash brings a story. It states, and this is in Osvov, Rabbeinu Oma l'Rab Efes, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi. He lived during the Roman occupation. And he was very good friends with the Caesar, Antoninus. But Rebbe also, Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rebbe was a prince, also a prince. Very, very wealthy, and so on. So Rabbeinu Amar Rabafis, he said to Rabafis, who was like a secretary, Ksev Chad Igro Min Shemi L'Raman Malka Antoninus. Write a message, a letter in my name to Maran Malka, to our master, our king, Antoninus. Come the Kosav. So Rabafis, his secretary, got up and he wrote, and this is what he wrote. He said, Min Yehuda Nesi'a Lemaran Malka Antoninus. From Yehuda, the prince, to the Maran Malka, to the master, the king Antoninus. Nazba Vikarya Vikaro. Rebbe looked over the message and he tore it up. He says, no, it's not written right, you cannot send it. Omalei, he said, this is the way you should write it. Ksov Min Abdecho Yehuda. You must write it that this is from, not from Yehuda the prince, this is from your servant Yehuda, Lemaran Malko Antoninus. This is from your servant Yehuda to our master, the king Antoninus. Omalei Rebbe. So his secretary, Abafis, says to Rebbe, Mibnei ma'ato mevaza al kvedecho. Why do you insist to give away so easily your honor, to humiliate yourself? The way I wrote it, it's coming. He says, this is from Yehuda the prince to our mighty king. What's the matter with that? You have to write, this is from your servant Yehuda to the mighty king. So Rebbe asks, answer him, Omalei ma anotab min sabi. Am I better than our grandfather? Lekach Omar Abdecho Yaakov, when Yaakov instructed the angels or the messengers to speak to Esav, this is how he instructed them. Ko Omar Abdecho Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov is saying, Ladoni Esav, to my lord Esav. This is another question. Why, Mibnei Ma'ato Mevaza Al Kvedecho, why was Yaakov humiliating himself so much? Why didn't he? I mean, sure, Esau was a mighty person, but so was Yaakov. Why was he prepared to be mevaz es kvedecho, to give away his honor? Another question. He told the Malachim, what should you say to Esau? Im lovan garti. That I have been dwelling with Laban. What is the significance of that? This was known. This was well known to Esav where Laban, where Yaakov was. He was there for over 20 years, and this is where he went, and this is where his father told him to go. So what does he mean, in Laban Garti, I've been living with Laban? Rashi brings in one pirush, im lovon harosho garti v'taryag mitzvah shomarti. Garti, the gematri, the numerical value is taryag, 613. So, this is what he meant to say. I've been living with lovon, but even though lovon was a rosho, I kept the 613 mitzvahs. This also doesn't make seemingly sense. So what's he trying to do with Aesop? Impress him. Impress Esav that he's a Truma Jew, that he kept the mitzvahs. This will make a difference to Esav. So another question. Then, what else did he tell them to say? He said, Ko Amar Abdecho Yaakov, this is what your servant Yaakov is saying, Im Lovan Gauti, I have dwelled with Lovan, right? I kept the Tayag mitzvahs, Vo Echar Ad Oto. And I've delayed coming back until now. What's he telling him? Esav knows he didn't need delay till he's coming back till now. Esav knew that he's only coming back now. That's why he took his 400 men to meet him. So what is he telling him? Vo'achar ad ato. I delayed until now. Another question. He comes and he tells him, He says, I have an ox, I have a donkey, I have a sheep, a servant, and a maidservant. Now, Rashi brings the Recheretz Lemar al Shvorim Har Beishor. The Loshen B'nei Odom, the way people speak, is even though they have many animals, they have many oxen, they'll refer to it, I have an ox, I have a servant. He says that many times can mean many. But seemingly he's trying to impress Esav with what he has. So then he shouldn't say in the singular. He should tell him, I have enormous amount of herds. I have enormous amount of servants. I have many, many maidservants. Here he says it all in the singular. If he's trying to impress Esav with numbers, this is not the way to do it. So this is another question. Then, further, if he wants to impress Esav with his wealth and his power, so then he should have said, because Yaakov became very, very rich by Laban in the end, so he should say, I have kesev bezov, I have silver, I have gold, I have margolias tevis, I have precious stones, pearls, diamonds. And he had. Because Chazal Madaik that he had. So that's what he should impress him with. Then it states, Vayira Yaakov mi'od vayetzeloi. When he heard that the 400 people were coming, right after that it says, Yaakov feared. He trembled with fear. And he was very, very upset. The Medrash Rabba says on that, what was he fearing? He said, Kol Hashonim, this is the Medrash Rabba in Ein Vav Osbeis, Kol Hashonim alolo hu yoshe beretz Yisrael, tema shuhu bo alay mikeach yeshivas eretz Yisrael. What was he afraid of? Because all of these years, these last 22 years, or whatever the exact calculation was, because he didn't reach home yet, Esav lived in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov was outside of Eretz Yisrael. Esav was fulfilling the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov wasn't. He says, perhaps he's coming with the schus, the merit of that mitzvah. Then he says further, Kol Hashonim Alolo, Hu Mechabed, Hoye Mechabed Es Horav. All of those years, he was able to give honor to his parents. And I wasn't. Maybe Tomar Mikea Kibur Aveim Ubo. Maybe he's coming with the schus of Kibur Aveim. Now here also is difficult. Why don't we learn Kipshutai? That he was afraid because of the 400 armies that was coming. But we have to go into this. But secondly, even if we'll go into this, was Yaakov really afraid that Esav the Rosho will win over him because of these mitzvahs? Yaakov was the tzaddik, the great righteous person. Esav was a murderer, and he committed every sin possible. So now Yaakov's becoming afraid because he lived in Eretz Yisrael for 20 years, or because he was Mechabed Abbeim. And secondly, if you have that schus of the mitzvah that'll help him destroy the tzaddik, because you have the schus of a mitzvah to destroy. So we have all of these questions. The explanation is as follows. We explained many times, and not long ago in Ishir, just who Yaakov and Esav were. If we, for a minute, go back to Parshas Toldos. The beginning of Parshas Toldos, in Posuk Bereishis Chof Hei, it states in Posuk Chof Aleph, Bata Rivki Ishtoi, Rivka conceived. Vayishrotzitzu habonim bekirbo. And there was a great turbulation within her. Vatomer imkein lamaze anechi. And she said, if this is what childbirth is bringing me, I don't want it. Vatelech lidreish es Hashem. She went to seek out Hashem. Vayim Hashem lo. And the prophecy came back to her. Shnei goyim bevitnech. Vishnei lumim imayach yiparedu. You have two nations in your womb, and two empires will come out from your womb and go in separate directions. And one empire will take its strength from the other, and the older one will serve the younger one. This was the prophecy. What was going on? So the Chazal explained, this, she was not just suffering birth pangs. There was a war going on. And for her to say this, I mean, it came to an impossibility. It was impossible to cope with it. What was the war? The Chazal tell us, Shehoyu Meiribin B'nach Leishnei Olamos. These two that were being born to her were enormous giants. Firstly, they were goyim. They weren't individuals. They were fathers of nations. Secondly, Rashi brings the way goyim is spelled. It's spelled that you can read it geim. This means they were nations of enormous aristocracy and nobility. Thirdly, they were la'umim. A la'umim is not just a nation, but an empire. So you had in her, she had two empires. And ula'omilom yamots. One would draw its strength from the other. This means they were contrary to each other. And this is what was happening inside of her. You had two enormous empires that were at war with each other. This was the Ritzitzo. This was the Vayishreitzitzu, the turbulation that was going on. What were they at war over? What were they fighting over? The Chazal tell us, Hoyemeirivin benach leshnei olamos. Each one wanted to rule the entire world. Yet from the womb, this was their nature. Each one wanted both worlds. This world and the next world. Hoyemeirivin benach leshnei olamos. Each one wanted olam hazeh and olam haba, this one, and the same thing with the other. This was the prophecy of Yaakov and Esav, of Yisrael and Edom. From Edom was to come the Roman Empire, that the Chazal tell us would be the greatest empire from all of the goyim. Roman legions. They were to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, send Klal Yisrael into the Golus that we are now. From the Roman Empire would come all of the European nations. This is what was going on. Now, we have another episode. And that's also in Parshas told us. And that's in Perchof Hei, Posachof Tes. Vayozed Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov was making a red porridge. Vayavo Esav min Asodev hu Ayev. And Esav came from the field. This is still when they were young. Hu Ayev. And he was exhausted. Mora says he was exhausted because he had murdered someone that day. Vayema Esav al Yaakov, and Esav said to Yaakov, I am just starving. I am starving. Haliteni nomino odomazer. Give me from this red porridge. Ki oyef anochi. Alkein karosh my Edom, and this is why he's called Edom. Now, this doesn't make sense because he wanted the red porridge, so therefore he was called red. Vayomer Yaakov. So Yaakov saw his time. He saw now a gap where he could jump in. He said, this person is a Rosho. And he, by rights, will have the merit to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because this was before the time of the Kahanim, and therefore was given to the Bechor, the firstborn, and Esav was the firstborn. But how could this Rosho serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be the representative to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he said, I'll make a deal with him. Let him sell me that right. Michra kayemes becheiros chali, sell me your right to the firstborn birthright, and I'll give you in exchange the porridge. Vayome Esav hine inechi holech lomus v'loma zeli bechora. He says, I'm going to die. What do I need this firstborn birthright? This also doesn't make sense. We need background in this. So the Chazal say, this is what's going on. He said, what will I have from being the firstborn? Yaakov tells him, you'll have the right to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, what will I have from those mitzvahs? You will get Olam Haba. You will get the spiritual world, the Olam HaElyon. He said, I don't believe in a world to come. I don't believe in a spiritual world. That's worthless to me. I believe in this world. I want this world. The Chazal tells me, "Kan shekofer Esav b'tchias ha-mesim." Here, Esav denied an afterlife. That's what he says. Lomali ze b'cheira. What do I need the b'cheira for? Ba'anoichi holech lomus. I'm going to die. You have this world, and then you're finished. So Yaakov said, I'll tell you, I'll make you a deal. We were each given half of each world. Half of this world and half of the next world. I will give you my half in this world. So this world will be yours. And you give me your half in the next world or in the spiritual world. And that will be mine. Esav said, it's a good deal. So, Vayomer Yaakov, Yishov Eli Kayom. Yaakov says, I don't believe you, make a shvua, an oath. He swore, Vayimkor es becheiros Eli Yaakov. So he sold now all of his rights, his spiritual rights, to Yaakov. And Yaakov nosan le'esav lechem unazir adoshim. And now, he says, I give you the bread, I give you the porridge, as a symbol that I give you whatever I have in this world, my worldly possessions, they will be yours. Vayechal vayesh vayokam vayelach. Esav sat down, he ate and drank, he left. Vayives Esav es habechora. And at that time, he humiliated the right of the firstborn. In other words, he said to the spiritual world, take it, it's worthless, I don't want it. Now we see why he was called Edom. Because of the porridge. It wasn't just because of the porridge. The porridge had represented that the earthly wealth and riches will belong to him, while the spiritual riches of the world will belong to Yaakov. Now, why was it Edom, though? Why red? So the Maral explains, because what? Who is the king of this world? What is the strongest force in the physical world? The Shemesh, the sun. And the Chazal tell us the sun is Edom. Sun is red. And this is why all of the major idolaters in the world were sun worshippers. Because they wanted to worship the greatest force in the world. And the greatest physical force in the world is the sun. The sun governs this world. It governs the movements of the world, the gravity of the world, the movements of the whole space and orbit, the seasons, the days, the time. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it the Mor HaGadol, the great light. And this was Esav. And this is why Esav's land and everything that has to do with him is called Edom, because they derive their strength from the physical sun. The sun gives energy and physical life into the whole world. This is where they derive their strength from. Yaakov, on the other hand, he couldn't be the Mor HaGadol. There can't be Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. You can't have two kings at the same time sharing one crown. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he said that. Therefore, he made the Lavona. The Lavona is white. That's the word Lavan. And he made the moon into the small light. The moon would govern at night, but not during the day in the strength of this world. And this is Yaakov. As I'll say, Esav is like the Shemesh, and Yaakov is like the Lavona. This was the deal they made. So what was the deal? The deal was not that they would fight. The deal that says, look, we can live b'sholom, just like the sun and the moon lives b'sholom. We can live b'sholom, but we just have to keep out of each other's way. The sun says, during the day is my time, and the moon will serve at night. So Yaakov said, this world is basically yours. And Chazal said, that's why we find Esav has so much success in this world. Great cities, great marketplaces, great wealth, the capitals of the European nations. Well, Yaakov doesn't have that much success in this world. Next world is just the opposite, though. The spiritual world is just the opposite. But we could live in harmony. We could live peacefully. We just have to work together and not step on each other's toes. This was the deal they made, and Esav was very happy. He said, what do I need? The firstborn birthright, I'm not going to be there anyhow for that. Now, if this was the deal, and Esav was very happy with this, so why did he hate Yaakov and he wanted to kill him? And that was for a different reason. That was because when Yitzchak came to give a brocha, which the brocha was supposed to go to the firstborn, and Esav said, I'm the firstborn, Yaakov went in through Rivka's intervention and stole the brocha. Now, what did the brocha say? When we go to Parshas Toldos, Yaakov came to Yitzchak. He was disguised, and Yitzchak was blind. He couldn't see. Vayomer Yitzchak al Yaakov, Gishona v'amushcha b'ni, atal ze b'ni Esav v'mleik. Come close to me, and I will feel you to see that if you are Esav or not. Vayigash Yaakov al Yitzchak avi v'amushehu. And Yaakov went to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak felt him. Vayom, and he said, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yadayim v'de Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, and the hands are the hands of Esav. Now this was in a big question mark, because the two can't coincide. The two can't be the same. The hands of Esav are not the voice, is not the voice of Yaakov, and the same thing vice versa. But he didn't recognize him, because she had put Esav's garments on him, and she had also put goatskins over his arms, and he blessed. And he said as follows, and this is in Pasuk Chof Ches. He said, "Vayitan lo chalakim mital hashamayim umishmane oretz." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these were the brachos from Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the dew of the heaven and from the fat of the earth. Now, this bracha is giving to Yaakov the earthly world also. V'reib dogon v'sirash, and enormous crops and oil and wine. Yabducha amim yishtachvu l'chul l'umim, nations shall bow to you and serve you. Have a gvir la'achecho, you will be a master over your brother. Targum says, have a rav la'achob, you will be a master over your brother. Yitzchok thought it was Esav, but really it was Yaakov. So he's making Yaakov a master over Esav even in this world. Vishtachavu l'cho b'nei imecho, and the children of your mother shall bow to you. In other words, Esav shall bow to you in this world. Then Yaakov left, and Esav came. And when Esav heard what happened, it states, "Vayitzak sokeh gdei lomor ad meod." He cried tremendously, and he said, "Now I know why you called him Yaakov. He has stripped me by the heel twice. First, he stole my firstborn birthright, and now he's taken the brachas." In other words, what he meant, first he took my spiritual world, and now he's taken my physical world. He's left me with nothing. So he said, "Vayomar halo atzalta li brocha." He asked his father, "Don't you have a brocha left for me?" Vayan Yitzchok vayimel Esav, and Yitzchok answered Esav, "Hein gvir samti vloch, I made him the master. Veskol echov nasati leila avodim, and everything that belongs to his brothers will become here. They will become his servants. The dogon v'sirei shemachtiv, and I gave him the crops and I gave him the wine. Ulocha efa ma'asebini, what can I give you now? I have made him a master over you, and anything I give you will belong to him." That was the hatred. Twice he gives me a whole business that I should give away my spiritual world to him. Okay. And now he comes and he takes my physical world. He's left me with nothing. So Esav said to his father, he says, "But don't you have at least one brocha for me? At least something." And he started to weep and to cry. So Yitzchok said, "All right, I'll give you something. Mishmani oritz yeh mishavecha, umitala shomai me'ol. You also will have from the fat of the land. You also will have the dew of the heavens." Okay. Bachabecha tichya. And you will live by the sword. These are the yadayim of Esav, the hands of Esav. But v'esochicho tabot, you will serve your brother. But then he says, v'hoyo ka'asher torid, but what I can do for you is this, ka'asher torid ufarakto ulai me'al tzavarecho. The Targum says, on this posuk, and Rashi brings it, he says, v'ikad yavrun b'noi al pizgomi araisho, when your brother will not keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, then v'sa'adi nirei me'al tzavareich, then you will be able to throw off the yoke that he has on you. In other words, I've already made him the master over you. But when he will not keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, then he will no longer be your master. Then you will be able to be his master. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala brocha asher berachei oviv. Esav hated Yaakov on the brocha that his father had given to him. So this is the background of all of this. When When Yaakov had prophesied. Yitzchak had prophesied. He said, I don't understand it. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. He was prophesying that they both will not rule at the same time. It'll either be the voice of Yaakov or the hands of Esav. And this is what he told them now. That when he will keep the mitzvahs of the Torah and the mitzvahs, then you will be his servant. But when he will go away from the Torah and the mitzvahs, that will be your chance. Because Chazal darshan on this, the kol is the kol Torah and the kol tefillah. When there's a kol Yaakov, kasher ha-kol kol Yaakov, when there's the voice of Yaakov, that comes from the pnimi, from the internal part of the person. In other words, the voice of Torah, then ein yodai yidei Esav sholtim aleihem. The power of Esav is neutralized. But when there's ein ha-kol shel Yaakov, then there's the sword of Esav. And in the Medrash, in the Psicha of Megillas Echa, the Medrash says that when the Romans wanted to attack Eretz Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash, they came to Bilam. And they asked Bilam, they said, will we be successful? And Bilam told them, he said, I'll tell you what. He says, go into their Bote Kinsiais and Bote Midrashis. Go into their shuls and into their Beis HaMedrash and see if the children are learning. If the children are tzapzafim, ayelodim betorah, if the children are chirping, tzapzafim is like chirping of birds. If you hear the chirping of birds of the children in Torah, you will not be successful, because that's the kol Yaakov. If you do not hear it, then you will be successful, because that's the yadayim. Then there is the yadayim of Esav, the hands of Esav. So this is the background of all of this. Now coming back to Arpasha. Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim. Yaakov sent angels. L'shtei Edom. Excuse me. Yaakov sent angels. Lefonav el Esav Ochim Atza Seir. To Seir and stay Edom. Because he was coming to confront Edom. And Edom is the sun. And Esav's strength is in the sun to rule this world. And he hated Yaakov because Yaakov had taken this world away from him through the brachas of the Father. So Yaakov planned a double strategy. He says, firstly, I will attempt to convince Esav that I'm not taking his world from him. I'm not touching his world. Brachas or no brachas, they belong to you. And it's your world and I'm not taking it, and you have nothing to hate me for. Just like the moon will not step on any of the territory of the sun, I will not step in any of your territory. That's the first strategy. Then, so therefore, what did he do? He said, I must consult him with this. But the second strategy is that if he insists that he still wants war against me, then I will prove to him that my father's bracha will be fulfilled, that I will be his master, because I have kept all of the Torah and the mitzvahs. This was the double strategy that Yaakov was going to use. So first, what did he do? He said, Yaakov sent angels to Esav. Beitzav Esam Lemor. And he commanded them, saying, Ko somrun l'adoni l'Esav. He said, listen carefully. This is what you should say to my master Esav. Ki amar abdecha Yaakov. This is what your servant Yaakov says. You are the master, I am the servant. In this world, it's your world. I have not taken it from you. It's your world like we made up it to be. You are the master, I am the servant. Just like in this world, the sun is the master and the moon, the Levona, is the servant. What will be later, that's a different story. States Osir Alavon Lishadesh. There'll be a time when the moon will get be as great as the sun. That's another story. But this world is yours. So you do not have to hate me for the brachas. They're not here. This is when Rebbe told Rav Ephes, he said, write a letter to the Caesar, Antoninus. So he instructed Rav Ephes to write. This is what you should write. Ke Omar Yehuda Abdecho. This is what Yehuda, your servant, is saying. To Ladoni Maran Malko Antoninus. The great king Antoninus, our lord, our master. And that's why the Rav Ephes says, why are you being Mavaza on your covered? He says, why am I different? Am I any different than our grandfather? In other words, this is how you have to deal with Esav in this world, because his hatred stems. What does the anti-Semitism come from? The anti-Semitism comes because whatever you have, he feels you stole from him. It belonged to him. And you stole it from him through your two deals. You have to show him that you didn't take it. You didn't. You don't have it, and you didn't steal it from him. That's why it states in the sages, and my Rebbe Rav Gifter used to say this, that it's a great wrong for Jews to demonstrate their wealth to the goyim. If they have wealth, they must enjoy it, but low profile. Let them enjoy it in their homes, low profile. If they demonstrate and they go out and they expose their wealth to the goyim, they are inviting trouble. Because immediately Esav will say, that was mine. You stole it from me. So this is what Yaakov was trying to drive home. Now, he said, Im Lavan Garti. What did he want with Lavan Garti? I dwelled with Laban. What is he telling him? We know that. So the Medrash Darshan, so Rashi brings it in one Pirish. Tayag mitzvah shomalti. Even though I was with Laban and Rosho, I kept the Tayag mitzvahs. So he says, if you still want to fight, now, our father said, I will be the master. Because don't say I didn't keep mitzvahs. That I was over the Pishgomi Araisha. Even when I was with Lovan Arosha for 20 years, Tayag mitzvahs, I kept all of the mitzvahs. Va'echar ad oto, and I have delayed coming back until now. What is he telling them? Well, I can see that you've delayed coming back until now. So what? Maika Mashmalon. Now he's telling them something very good. Why? Why did Yaakov delay coming back till now? So for this we go back to Parshas Vayetze, last week's Parsha. In Perek Lamed Posuk Chof Hei. Well, the Posuk before Chof Daled, well, we'll go to Chof Gimel. It states, Vatar Vatelet Bain. Rachel had her first child. Vatomer Asaf Elikim Eskarposi. Hashem has gathered in my shame. Vatikra Shmo Yosef Lemor Yesev Hashem Li Bain Acher. And they called his name Yosef, that he would add another son to me. Vahi Kashe Yoldo Rachel Es Yosef. When Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Vayomer Yaakov El Lavan Shalcheni. Then Yaakov said to Lavan, send me home. Be'elcha El Mekemi La'artzi. Now, this is not coincidental. Any of the time, all the way through here, Yaakov could have told Lavan, it's time to go home. No. Only after Rachel gave birth to Yosef did Yaakov say, now it's time to go home. And Rashi brings, Mishanei Leitzitna Shel Esav. Because Yosef was going to become the Sitna Shel Esav, the arch enemy of Esav, the one that could overthrow him. It says, Vohoya Beish Yaakov Esh, the house of Yaakov will be a fire. Ubeish Yosef Lehovo, and Yosef will be the flame. Uva Esh Beis Esav Lekash, and Esav will be like straw. A fire without a flame cannot go very far. Once Yosef was born, then Yaakov had confidence he could go back and face Esav. The reason for this was, there's a nevuah, there was a prophecy, we'll bring it in a minute, that Esav, the seed of Esav, will ultimately fall into the hands of the seed of Rachel. And until Rachel had a child, he was afraid to go back. The explanation, though, is because the flame of a fire is actually the fire itself, except it's going out a long distance. No son was Yaakov himself, except the son he would have from Rachel, because Rachel was the wife that he came for. And this was to be Yosef. And that's why, therefore, the fire was Yaakov, but it was without a flame. Yosef became that flame. And he would turn the house of Esav into straw. This is how he would burn it. So this is why he said, Bo'echar ad oto. I did not come back till Yosef was born. And now if you want war, I'm prepared for it. I've come for peace. The world's yours. Take it. I don't want it from you. But if you still want war, now I have the power of Yosef. I have the power of 613 mitzvahs and I have the power of Yosef. Now we'll go further. Next, on this, the Medrash says, and the point we just said, the Medrash says, Osvov, Domar Pinchas B'Shem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Meseiris Hi, we have a Meseiris, a Kabbalah. She'ein Esav Nofel Ela B'Yad Boneo Sherachel. Esav will ultimately fall into the hands of the sons of Rachel. That's Yosef and Binyamin. Hadohu D'Ksiv in Yirmiyahu Mem Tes Chov, it states, Im Loi Yishchavum Tzi'irei Hatzon. Esav will be dragged out of his lands by the youngest of the sheep. Who are the youngest of the sheep? That's the youngest of the children, Yosef and Binyamin. Im lo yashim aleihem novehem. They will destroy his cities. Now, what is the next pasuk? In the next pasuk, he comes to say, "Vayhi li shor v'chamor etzon ve'eved v'shivcho." He says, "I have a shor, a bull. I have a donkey. I have the flocks, I have sheep, I have a servant, I have a maidservant. Now, we asked, firstly, what's he trying to do, impress Esav with his wealth? He's not going to impress Esav with his wealth so quickly, because Esav had plenty of wealth. But secondly, if he is, so you don't say, I have an ox, I have a donkey, I have a sheep. You say, I have tremendous amount of oxen, tremendous amount of sheep. And secondly, he would have said, I have kesev, azov, I have silver, I have gold, I have precious stones. Now the Medrash says something else on this. The Medrash says, Vahili Shor, this is an Ein Hei Oshud Beis, Shor Zeh Yosef. See, he's carrying on, he's continuing. Shor, that's Yosef. Why? Because by the bracha that was given to Yosef was B'chor Shor Hadalei. He will be like the, he will be the firstborn of the Shor. So Shor is Yosef. Chamor, what does it mean? Chamor, Yisachar. I have Yisachar. Yisachar with the great Balei Torah. Actually, it was from Yosef that Yeshua came. And Yeshua was the one who first fought against Amalek in the desert, and Ve'achlosh, and he weakened them. He defeated them. And Amalek is the seed of Esav. Yisachar, Chamor, the Chamor is Yisachar. Yisachar was called a donkey in the brochas. Tzon, I have Tzon, Elu Yisrael. These are my other children who Yisrael will come from. Eved, I have an Eved, this is the schus of David, Ani Abdecho, who called himself an Eved to Hashem. Shivcha, Zu Abigail. This is Abigail, where when David HaMelech asked her to become his wife, she said, I am fit to become your Shivcha, your maidservant. And there's another drosh in the Medrash, where he said, that who is the Chamor? The Chamor is the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech, because it states, only Verechim al Chamor in Zechariah, that the Melech HaMashiach will come on a donkey. And there he's referring to the Melech HaMashiach. It seems that there'll be two powers in destroying Esav. One from the seed of Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin, but it seems also in the end of days will be also David HaMelech. Like we learned before, it states David Perea, the one who will take revenge from him is red. So he says, I have the schus of David. Now, so this is what he told him. Now he asked another question. When they came back and they told him that Esav is coming with 400 men or 400 armies, generals and kings, Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzalai. Yaakov became very afraid and he was very, very upset. The simple meaning is he was afraid of the armies. But the Medrash says, what was he afraid of? He was afraid, he said, Esav for the last 20 years has been living in Eretz Yisrael. He has the schus of Eretz Yisrael. For the last 20 years he's been serving and taking care of our parents, of Yitzchok and Rivka. He has the schus of Kibbutz Abayim. So we ask, this is what he's afraid of. So Esav has two mitzvahs. I mean, that's the only mitzvahs he had in his whole life, probably. Yaakov was the Yaakov, Chokuk al Kisei HaKovet. He went up to the Kisei HaKovet. Secondly, what those mitzvahs are going to help Esav destroy a tzaddik. So what was he afraid of? Now, this is what he was afraid of. He's saying like this, I want to make peace with you. Here. Here's whatever I have, take it. It's your world. Shema, maybe you want to make war. Our father said, when will you be able to make war? When I don't keep the mitzvahs. That'll be your chance. Then will be your daim shel Esav, the hands, the sword of Esav. First of all, I've kept all Tayag mitzvahs. All Tayag mitzvahs by Lovin. So I don't have to worry. But then he says, there is something I have to worry about. Not so much that you kept mitzvahs, but there are two mitzvahs that I didn't keep. Two mitzvahs I didn't keep, and you kept. And that could be used against me. For the last 20 years, I haven't been able to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, while you have. And for the last 20 years, I haven't been able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Va'Em, while you have. Maybe you'll come with the claim that our father said that once you weaken your hands from mitzvahs, then not because I'll have the schus mitzvah, but once you weaken your hands of mitzvahs, then I will be able to overrule you. And you've taken those two mitzvahs from me. Maybe that's what you'll come with. And therefore, by Yira, he was afraid, by Yitzhaloi. He says, I don't have the Tayag mitzvahs. I was forced not to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael and the mitzvah of Kibbur Av Va'Em for 20 years, and Esav was. Maybe that will be. So this is what his concern was. Now, then he went and he made this lavish gift. This lavish gift of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals. And with this noble presentation, each one in its own flock, and they were instructed only to bring one flock to him at a time, and he shouldn't even be able to see the next flock until this one is there. So each one he would give his total undivided attention to. And then he went and he bowed seven times. What was all this? He was showing them. Adoni Esav. Shaila Melech, you're the king in this world. A king you pay a tribute to. All of this is yours. Take it. And he bowed to him seven times. To show, you're the great light. I don't want it. We can live in peace. And he was successful. Esav was so impressed and so ennobled, and he was so uplifted. Yaakov had made him the king in this world. Yaakov gave him whatever he wanted. Yaakov bowed to him. We'll live in peace. So they were able to make peace at that time. Unfortunately, it didn't last. But at that time, they were able to make peace. So these were the strategies of Yaakov Avinu. And firstly, you claim that I took everything from you. No. I only took the spiritual world, and that was the deal. The physical world is yours, and whatever I have, you can have. I have enough. It came to the point where Esav said, why are you giving me so much? You take it. He says, I have so much. Esav says, so Yaakov said, no, I have enough. You take it. And it'll be my honor if you take it. That's how you have to deal with Esav in this world. You want the world, take it. Just leave us alone. You want to fight? Then we will come to you. We can come to you with the power of the sword. The power of the sword was given to you. But my father said that you will be our servant until we break the Torah. So we must come to you with the power of the Torah. Hakol Kol Yaakov. Then I will tell you Tayag Mitzvah Shomalti. I kept 613 mitzvahs. And by Hili Shor, by Echar Ad Ato, I come with Yosef. And I come with Yisochar. And I come with Dovid HaMelech and Avigail. This was the power struggle that was going on here at this confrontation. And this is what we have to learn from during our trip through Golus, because we are in the Golus of Esav. And this is what Rebbe learned from. He says, no, you don't deal with the Caesar that way. The Caesar, you let him be the Caesar. Then he'll be very happy. If he thinks that you are usurping it, then there'll be trouble. I want to just dwell on one other point, just for very briefly. We've spoken about this in the past, but it's very pertinent. And in particular because this I originally heard from one of my rebbes, Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, whose Yahrzeit falls out tonight and tomorrow, Yud Beis Kislev. He should be a Melitz Tei for Klal Yisrael. He was the Rosh Yeshiva that came together with Reb Elimeir Bloch from Telz and Litter to reestablish the yeshiva in America in 1941. And when I came to Telz in 1953, both of them were living. Reb Elimeir died in a year and a half later, 1955, but Reb Mortel lived for another 10 years after Reb Elimeir died. What does it dwell on? It's actually, I heard it from Reb Mortel, but it's written also in the Shuri Das by Reb Yosef Yehuda Leib, by the Alter Rov. After this whole episode, we have where Yaakov goes on to Shechem. This is in Perek Lamed Aled. And in Shechem, a very, very tragic incident takes place because Dinah was abducted and violated, and they didn't want to give her back. And Shimon and Levi went and annihilated the whole city. Now, there are a number of questions, but there's one question that is asked. And that is, why did this happen to Yaakov? Dinah, there's certainly a reason why it happened to Dinah. But the Chazal want to know, why did this happen to Yaakov, to her father? Such an ugly and humiliating incident. And the Medrash says, in Parshas Ein Vov Ostes, the reason why this happened is because it states, if you look in the Psukim, when he went to meet Esav, it says, in Perek Lamed Gimel, he saw Esav coming, so he divided up all his children behind Leah and Rachel, and behind the two maidservants. And then no, 1 minute. Actually, it's brought here. Excuse me. And Lamed Beis Posachov Gimel. After he sent the gift to Esav on that night, Vayokam Balailahu, he got up that night, Vayikach Eshtei Noshov, he took his two wives, Veshtei Shivchesov, and his two maidservants, Vesachara So Yelodov, and his 11 children. Now, this actually should be 12 children, because Yaakov had 13 children. He had the 12 sons and Dinah, and Binyamin was not born yet. So this means that at this time he had 12 children. So why does it say 11 children? Vesachara So Yelodov. Rashi brings Dinah Hechen Hoysa, and the Chazal have a way of proving that the one that was missing was Dinah. So Dinah, where was she? Nitna b'teba, v'no'al b'faneha. she was placed in a box. She was concealed in a box. He closed the box. She was very beautiful. And he was afraid that Esav will gaze at her and decide he wants her and take her. Nekach nenesh Yaakov. And therefore Yaakov was punished. Shemona me'echov. Because he kept her away from his brother. Shema taksirena lamuta v'nochel b'yad Shechem. He shouldn't have done this. Because he should have let Esav look at her. And maybe Esav would have married her. And then Dina would have turned Esav into a righteous person. So because he did this, Dina fell into the hands of Shechem, of the Goy, of the non-Jew. The Medrash says like this. Yaakov, the Medrash elaborates a little more. Yaakov said, Arosha ze inay Roma hi. This Rosha has haughty eyes. Shlit le'ino v'yireso v'yikach eso mimeni. I'm going to conceal her so he will not look at her and decide he wants to take her from me. Rafuna b'shem Rababa kain bad lo'omar. Rafuna said, Omer le'akodesh baruch hu, akodesh baruch hu said, to, and this is in Iyov, Vov, l'mas mereu chosed, monato mereacho chosed, chesed. You have refrained, you have withheld chesed, kindliness from your brother, from your brother. Monato chasdo min achuch, the ilu is nabis legavro lezinso, because if she would have married Esav, this would not have happened to her. Then, lebikashti, lebikashti lasi lamoel, lamohul harehi nisas laorel. She could have gotten married to one who's circumcised. Because of that, she got married to one who's uncircumcised. Lebikashti lasiya derecheter. She could have gotten married to someone in a permissible fashion, because you didn't let her. Hare nososa derech iser. She got married to someone in a forbidden matter. And that's why it states, Vateitze Dina Basleo, this is why this happened. There's another medrash which states, the other medrash states that in Yalkut Shmoni and Iyov, Simon Tov Tov Kuf Esvov, Ilo Haisa Le Esav. Behind the Nisa Beperkama, the Babasra. The Gemara brings in first Perak of Babasra, Perak Daftesvav Amad Beis, that some say Iov, Job, lived during the time of Yaakov. And Dina was the one who married Iov. So the Medrash says that Dina ultimately married Iyov and made Iyov be Megayer and become a righteous person. Had you let Dina marry Esav, the same thing would have happened. She would have been Megayer him and he would have become a righteous person. And because you didn't, this is what happened with Dina. The Mishnah Shoshorim goes into this. And he says, he doesn't go into this at length, but he goes into this, he says, see how deep, how omuk the Midas Hadin is, the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is don im svivov ke chut hasara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges those who are close to him with the breath of a hair. And he brings many cases. One case that he brings is this one. He says here that here Yaakov put Dina in a box in order that Esav shouldn't take her. And there's no doubt that his intentions were only for good. He didn't want Esav or Rosha to take his daughter. But because he withheld Chesed from his brother, so therefore it states, and he brings the Medrash, you didn't want to marry her to someone who circumcised. She was taken to someone who wasn't. you didn't want to marry her in a permissible fashion, she was abducted. We see how deep the deen is. As I mentioned, this is first spoken about in the Shiridas from our Gamer Yosef Yehuda Leib in Chelek Beis, Shir Tesvov, Im Arashenim Kemalochim. But, and there he goes into it. But this is something that needs great explanation. I mean, we see three things from here. One is we see how careful the person has to be and how he's judged accordingly. Naturally, if we're not so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't judge us kechut asara, like the breath of a hair. Tzadikim, he judges even closer, but we see that's what we see. That's what the Mesilas Yesharim brings out. But two other points we see. The other point is, is what did Yaakov do wrong? A person has a right to look for a good siddach for his son or his daughter. Not only does he have a right, he has a responsibility. When someone comes and asks for your daughter's hand in marriage, you don't just give it away. You're obligated to scrutinize and to investigate to make sure that this person is a good person. I mean, didn't Avraham do that? When Avraham sent Yitzchak to his Eved, he says, don't you dare take from the Menais Chom, from the daughters of Chom, the daughters of Canaan. He says, go back to my father's home and take from my family. And he instructed Eliezer that you have to test her and so forth and so on. You're not going to take anyone. So what did Yaakov do wrong? He should give away his daughter to Esav. Esav is the arch enemy and the arch rosha. So it's amiss that Ramotel would say that we see very clearly that there certainly was the possibility, not just a remote possibility, but we see very clearly that there certainly was a good possibility that Dina could be an influence on Esav to turn him into a righteous person. Because if there was no possibility, or a chance one in a million, so then why are you punishing Yaakov? He did right. So evidently there was that good chance, that good possibility, except Yaakov didn't want to take the chance. He says, take it with someone else's daughter, not with my daughter. Okay. So in that is what the Ramotel would say, that you see that you have to take chances when it comes, not only, we know you have to take chances when it comes to this world. We're always taking chances when it comes to this world. You go into a plane, you're taking a chance. You travel, you take a chance. People travel. The Gemara says, the drochim abecheske sakona. Whenever you go on a trip, you are exposing yourself to danger. Yet the travel industry, the biggest travelers are the businessmen. The businessmen travel all over the world. They're going to Shanghai and to Singapore and to Honolulu and to South America, all over. Why? For panosa, for business. This world, we're always taking chances. Every good business deal is a risk. Because if it wouldn't be a risk, it wouldn't be a good business deal. I was once sitting with an accountant, big accountant, who was going through someone's a business's figures. So he's going through the figures, and he says, your bad debts, in other words, debts that people owe you that looks like you're not, they won't be paid, so you're wiping them off. He says, your figure's too low. So I perked up, too low. Why should it be? So that's good. Means you haven't lost money in bad debts. And he criticized it. So I asked him, well, what do you mean? What's wrong with that? No, he says, that's not good. He says, that means that they're not taking risks. You don't take risks, you don't make money. You don't make money on sure things. You take money where there's always a risk. If you're only going to do business with people that will be 100% guaranteed that they will be able to pay you back, you're not going to do much business. And this was a big accountant. He says, your bad debts that you're writing off, the figure's not high enough. And every businessman knows that. It has to be a calculated risk, but it has to be a risk. Life is a risk. So the model would say, why does it happen that when for our parnosa, for our good, we're ready to take risks? But for our Kodesh Baruch Hu's good, we're not ready to take risks. Right? For our Kodesh Baruch Hu's good, we're not. He says, what would have happened if she would have influenced Esav to become a tzaddik? You know what would have happened? There wouldn't have been any Roman Empire. There wouldn't have been any Amalek. There wouldn't have been any Haman. There wouldn't have been any Churban Beis Hamikdash. There wouldn't have been any Golus. There wouldn't have been any pogroms in Europe. There wouldn't have been any Holocaust. This is all from the seed of Esav. Look what there was to gain. You would present that to a businessman, they would jump at it. They would put everything they had on it. He says, when it comes to our ruchnias, spiritual, for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, now we say we can't take a risk. You come to people and tell them you have to build a day school, you have to build a yeshiva, they'll tell you there's not enough money. What do you mean there's not enough money? Invest in it, borrow in it, no, too risky. Yet meanwhile, they'll build empires for themselves. They'll go mechulel, bankrupt 16 times in order to build an empire for themselves. This was the finger that was pointed to Yaakov. It was worth the risk. The returns were far too great to walk away from the risk. Okay? To walk away from the risk. And he used to say it also, he says, people are great tzaddikim when it comes to their children. He says, you have a school, a yeshiva, a school that's being built, and it needs children. And if it'll have children, it'll be a school for the whole city. They said, no, not for my children. Wait till it gets established. Wait till it's a good school. Meantime, I'll send my children to a better school. After all, my first responsibility is to my children. Now, your responsibility is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can be the outcome? And that's what it tells the Rosh Yeshivas did. That in Cleveland, they built a day school. And the day school was built at the level of the city. And there were those that said, we must build a school for our own children because our own children are much higher level. They can learn much more. The old Rosh Yeshivas won't let them. He says, no. You invest your children in that school because then you'll have a school for the city. He says, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be prepared to give, not to take. And this is where they would bring that. And he used to say in his Yiddish, he says, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu daf nemana gamble. That's what he used to say in Yiddish. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu eched daf nemana gamble. See, this was the finger pointed at Yaakov. Because it must be speaking where there was the possibility she could do that. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any complaint on Yaakov. And because you didn't do it, this is what happened. So that's the second point. There's a third point that we learn from here. This was not discussed, but a third point. We see the power of a righteous woman. Power of a righteous woman. Esav, the great, great Rosho. From him would come Haman. From him would come Amalek. From him would come Hitler. And how many others? And one woman could change him. You see the power of a righteous woman. One woman would be able to change him and change history. And this is what we've seen in the Seders consistently. Sora changed history. She drove out Ishmael and Hagar. And Rivka changed history. She drove out Esau, made the brachas go to Yaakov. And the complaint was, is Yaakov could have done the same with his daughter Dina. So this is what we learn from there. These are great principles for us to learn, because it's how to deal with Esav when we are in the golus of Esav now. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.